Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm John Batchelor with my good colleagues David Diode and Bill Raja of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. The war in Europe momentarily on all the front pages, the moving argument about what is a peace plan. But in Gaza, the ceasefire remains, and yet, David, the puzzle here is not Hamas being a bad actor, not even Hamas having no intention to disarm. Question is, what does the Russian prevailing position in Ukraine mean for Hamas? Does it give it a freer hand to regenerate, or is it too far away from where they are right now, which is basically holding on?
As far as I know, and I don't follow Hamas as closely as I do, say, Hezbollah, they've been relatively agnostic, at least openly, on the Russian war. My sense is they're going to be more inclined towards Russia, given that Russia doesn't consider them a terrorist organization. They routinely visit and meet with President Putin, so on and so forth. But Hamas is part of the broader resistance axis. And, you know, through the Hezbollah lens, I can give you, you know, what they were saying when the Russian attack on Ukraine started and why they were saying it. So the official leadership in Hezbollah was saying, Nasrallah was still alive, we have no dog in this fight. These are both, you know, Russia and Ukraine are victims of American imperialism, which has dragged them, you know, these poor Russians and these poor Ukrainians to fight as the Americans sit back and watch them, you know, destroy each other and come out on top. But Hezbollah's media, that's what Al-Ahed newspaper, Al-Manar, they had this whole file on Al-Ahed newspaper just following the Russia-Ukraine war. The narrative there was that this is a good thing. Right, that the Russian war on Ukraine, the Russian invasion, is a good thing. Why? Because ultimately, what Hezbollah, the resistance axis, and this includes Hamas, Iran, what they have in common with Russia, what those two countries have in common with North Korea and China and Venezuela is one thing. There's one thing that unites them, and it's the shattering of American global hegemony. Right. So they saw. Otherwise, these countries and these actors have nothing in common. Right. The Soviets and Hezbollah. We're targeting each other in Lebanon in the 1980s, and you know the Iranians had no love lost on Moscow back when it was under communist rule. So the one thing they have in common is this antipathy towards the United States, this desire to see us knocked out off of our global perch. Why? Right? Because if America's not on top, that gives them more freedom of action to push their vision for the world. So for them, the war in Ukraine was at least another chip in the liberal international order that we created in the wake of World War II, and which, look, imperfectly, but does maintain American international hegemony. So the more you chip at that order, the more you chip at the system that America put in place, again, with the blood of hundreds of thousands of our boys in World War II, the more you reduce America's global influence, the more you reduce America down to just another, at most a great power, but really just another country whose say is just like any other country's. And therefore, you limit the United States' ability to restrain and constrain these actors, giving them a freer hand to act regionally, to implement their visions regionally, and ultimately internationally. So for them, the war in Ukraine was just this extra chip. So anything that moves in Russia's favor, I would say, when it comes to Ukraine, both Hamas and Hezbollah and the entire resistance axis are going to view that as a net victory, right? Because ultimately, it is another degradation. It is another part of the gradual degradation of this liberal international order that again maintains that is the kind of the cornerstone of American global hegemony.
Bill, you have a quick question. We have 2 minutes.
David, before the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, Hezbollah was quite active in that country. Syria was a conduit for Iranian weapons. What is Hezbollah's position inside Syria today? Are they able to continue to smuggle weapons? Are they conducting operations there, or have they been largely shut out?
Mm-hmm. So, look, the situation is obviously fundamentally different from how it was under the Assad regime. Under the Assad regime, Syria was an open playground, right? This is an active imprimatur from the government itself. Not that really the Assad regime had any control at a certain point. He really was just the governor of not even of Damascus, but of the presidential palace at Iran's pleasure. But there was an official rubber stamp saying, do whatever you want, right? Cheddar obviously has a very different approach to Hezbollah, right? Not a favorable one. But he lacks the ability now to control his borders entirely. He lacks the, as we've seen from all the chaos that's happened in Syria since Assad has fallen, he also lacks internal consolidation either over his forces, right? You have all these flare-ups that keep happening.
David, we have 30 seconds.
So for this, for Hezbollah, allows them to continue operating despite what Damascus wants. So, you know, there's a proliferation of financial institutions, businesses that are operating in Syria that Sharia still just didn't have the ability to clamp down on. And again, the lack of consolidation of control means the borders are still porous, means there are seams throughout the country, channels that Hezbollah can exploit, and that's what we're seeing. So it's not the same as before. It's an open playground, but again, because Syria is still in a state of flux and chaos, that is prime ground for how Iran operates. Wherever there's a fractured state, Iran uses the seams that creates to be able to pass weapons and funds onto its proxies. In this case, they're doing it when it comes to Hezbollah.
David Daoud, Bill Raggio, I'm John Bastian.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,